Rear window, that trombone shopped, though.
It's Flicks and That with Steve Newell.
Why, hello there, Steve Newell.
G'day, g'day.
How's it going?
Good, man. Good. So when I left here last week, I was strolling down the hill to go to IMAX in the rickety old Queen Street building,
yes.
Which houses it.
Most of it has been mothballed in there, right? There's no restaurants. There's just a cinema and an arcade. Is that right?
Pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
Not a lot going on there.
Yep.
But there is still an IMAX, and it is still the best place to see a bunch of stuff at the movies. And what I got to see last week was the new David Bowie doc, Moonage Daydream, which I went in expecting sensory overload, and I came out feeling sensorially overloaded. So,
okay.
Job done.
All right.
This is a 2-hour, 20-minute doco that is from the director of Kurt Cobain, Montage of Heck, which if you've seen that, you know this guy's got a bit of a knack for using animation and some sort of visual flair to bring stuff to life. And with this Bowie doc, what he's really working with is this unfettered access to the Bowie estate archives. The first time that the first film that's emerged from the these archives. And he's telling a story about Bowie using footage from shows, footage from interviews, no talking heads, no interviews. Dave Grohl's not in it. None of the things that happen in most music documentaries. And so it's really just this opportunity to constantly be engaging with David Bowie as a performer. So, I mean, you know, even in an interview, he's performing. He's always on in some sense, right? But some of the footage is really intimate. Some of the concert footage is kind of like shot from side of stage or following Bowie onto the stage. So it's definitely some sort of like private film stuff there. It does get pretty heavy on the animation and the edits. It's loud. It's super loud, actually. And there's parts of the film where there's quite a lot of layering of music and kind of other audio effects that gets close to being a little overwhelming, I think. The length is definitely overwhelming at 2 hours, 20 minutes. But it's a pretty damn good excuse to get down to IMAX and see something that, I mean, it's the best possible way to see it. It'll lose so much when you watch it on TV. It'll just look like a nice Apple commercial with better music at home. But on IMAX, you know, it's one to really rock you back in the seat.
Do you need to be a Bowie fan to go and see it?
No, I don't think so. It's I guess the loose format of the film is, so it's largely in his words. It's grabbing bits of music videos and playing them, sometimes out of context. There's sort of sets up a few themes at the start of the film and then works through his career pretty much chronologically, with really heavy emphasis on the 60s, 70s, and 80s. And you don't need to be a fan, but you might find that, let's put it this way, if you don't like David Bowie, maybe by the sort of 80-minute mark with 40 minutes to go, you might be feeling that that's a little bit
I feel too like much. Every single human in New Zealand has probably been witness or experienced enough David Bowie to go along and potentially enjoy this. You know, it's just he's one of those artists that's just burnt into everyone's subconscious.
That's a fair call. And I think if you're outside that catchment area, you probably are not listening to the radio right now. Maybe participating in some kind of commune or
living off the grid.
Yeah, maybe.
Well, the thing is, if you have a handful of records at the commune, one of them is probably a Bowie record.
It probably is. Yeah. The well-worn grooves. But yes, that won't be in IMAX for a ton of time. I think that's playing a couple times a day for the next, into the weekend. So I reckon if any of this sounds interesting, have a hone at the trailer on YouTube and get into one of those good central IMAX seats where everything kind of just fills your peripheral vision and you can buzz out to your heart's content.
Oh, nice one. It's one of those films, Steve, that people have shot me a message and said, oh, well, should we go and see this? You know, just out of the blue, I hadn't even brought it up. So obviously it's on people's radars.
Yeah, and I think its very nature is, you know, there's a kind of a whiff of event about this film. by that sort of limited duration it's going to be around for, and you know the fact that it is going to be this kind of big experience.
Mm-hmm. What else, Steve? What else is on the radar?
It feels like not long ago that I was here raving about season 3 of Atlanta, which was, I think that kicked off in about March, ran mm-hmm. for mm-hmm. 8-ish episodes, 8 or 10 episodes.
Yes.
Still remains possibly the best thing I've seen on telly this year.
Yep.
And this weekend, season 4 arrives on Neon.
So all at once?
I think they might be doing 2 episodes this week and then doing them weekly from there.
Mm. I'm really curious to see where it goes, because it kind of almost felt like they could have left it, you know, where it was. You know, they could almost, that's done, but...
Absolutely. So season 3, like if you haven't seen it, it's a good opportunity to kind of give it a bit of a plug again. It is available on Neon, who will have the new episodes from Saturday. So I won't spoil it too much, but basically it's the characters of Atlanta. It's rapper Paperboy, his manager Earn, Donald Glover, their friends Darius and Van. They're all in Europe through season 3, so Paperboy's touring. There's a bunch of standalone episodes that take place back in the US that kind of have a thematic weight that sort of makes sense as the season kind of pulls together, even while you watch it kind of not necessarily figuring out how it's connected. And then this fourth season is set back in Atlanta, so mm-hmm. it's like it's been described by director Hiro Murai as like a greatest hits, a bit of a homecoming season. Donald Glover has previously tweeted that these are two of the best seasons of television ever made. Only Sopranos can touch us. So they're definitely feeling very confident about what they're rolling out.
I think that is kind of a fair call. I feel like he can back himself, because they have been fantastic seasons of television. You know, like, I'm just trying to think of what else has been as thrilling to watch and as exciting and, you know, been, I don't know, like had such a good sense of humor throughout. You know, it is, you know, fair call.
I think when I talk about Atlanta, I kind of gravitate to how brilliantly creative it is, what sort of themes they work in, how kind of heavy the show is, but it's also fucking funny. Mm. And I think that's one of the big successes. It's such a joy to watch each week, even while it's dumping some pretty heavy stuff in your lap. I've seen the first episode of season 4, and it still remains unclear by the end credits just sort of how much of this European set season is going to flood in. But it is kind of a greatest hits episode. It's 3 separate storylines, our 4 main characters all doing their kind of like missions around Atlanta.
It's super mission based. The whole thing is mission.
And some of them are absurd. Some of them have a kind of whiff of adrenaline to them. This first episode kind of does that. It balances some sort of like borderline horror elements with comedy. I can't wait to see the rest of the season. One of the things that I really like about Atlanta, that's a real minor little thing, is this is such a nerdy thing that the show has done. But when you look at the episode descriptions, when you're scrolling through Neon, they're not like Earl and Van go to get a car, Paperboy catches up with an old friend. They're written by the writer's room from the perspective of a disgruntled fan of the show. So they actually like mock the episode that you're about to watch, like trying to be viral with this. Or And so it's a really silly little thing, but I think it speaks to kind of the care and attention that they bring to the show. So it'll be sad to see Atlanta go, but I can't wait to see how they do it over the next couple of months.
Nice one. Anything else, Steve?
That's me.
All right, mate. Top quality recommendations this week?
I hope so.
We'll see you next week.
See you then.
Real auteurs use star wipes.
That was Flicks and That on 95BFM.